and welcome, everybody, to episode 711 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold.
It's too bad I didn't have one, because I would have brought a big gulp to the occasion.
Yeah, I know. Well, I brought a big gulp, but not from 7-Eleven, but that would have been very appropriate, Eric. What do you think of 7-Eleven, Breakman?
I remember when you could buy porn at 7-Eleven.
I remember that too.
By my college, and it was like the closest place to buy porn. One of the closest.
Yeah, and like they had it like behind like black, like, you know, things, but you could see like Penthouse or Playboy or whatever. You know, they made a killing off of those magazines at one point. You know, they couldn't keep them on the shelves for a long time. You know, they did have a section on the floor first, and then people were up in arms about that. So then they put it behind the counter, you know, and then you had to like ask they were more like security guards at that point, you know.
How absurd it got. Like, they started putting those black covers like on Cosmo ad or magazines and stuff like that because they started saying like everything was sexual.
Yeah, like you couldn't. Yeah, exactly. Cosmo even had the black covers because, you know, I mean, heaven forbid you see a chick in a tube top. You know, I mean, hell.
Hey, oh my God, cleavage is showing. Oh my God, the children.
I never understood this country when it comes to, like, sex, man. Like, violence all day long. You can shoot people in video games and watch people blow people up in movies and all this. But, oh my God, cover your eyes for those titties. You know, it's like, come on, man.
I was kind of thinking that as I watch a lot of cartoons. I was kind of thinking that as I'm watching these cartoons, like they're really hesitant to show like kissing, punching, kicking, blowing shit up. That's all fine.
I mean, no problem. I mean, even like think of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man. They could blow up shit, blow up the Foot Clan.
Unless you're in UK, where they have the censor nunchucks and had to call them the Hero Turtles because the ninjas were apparently banned.
Yeah, and then like they show eight
when they censor the nunchucks. That sucks. Yeah. Like that always bothered me too. Like, why are those? Those are like not sharp.
And then April O'Neil's like outfit was always that yellow jumpsuit thing that you never saw anything. So it's like non-sexual. You know, it's like is April really a chick?
Also, I don't know why, but Phantasy Star 2's original localization had the claw weapons changed to bars for whatever reason.
Whatever. Hey, our good friend Freak 5 is in chat. What's up, Freak 5? Nice to have you in there.
I can only assume it has something to do with that ninja thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Just some ninjas and certain ninjas shows fight with claws.
Right. Welcome to the show, Freak 5. Thanks for joining. We haven't even really got an end to anything, but let's get into the news.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, start us
off. I'm just kidding. The real reason is they couldn't fit Claw into the character space.
All right, Eric.
We started the show?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, okay.
What's that?
But, this is from RPG Site, and it's really just a quick shout-out to the fact that Square decided, for whatever fucking reason, to stealth-drop Neo, The World's End with You on Steam yesterday, a day before Persona 5 Royal comes out.
Oh, wow. That always works out when you put out a game.
It hit its threshold of being a year exclusive on Epic Game Store.
That always works out when you stealth release something behind a major release. It always works out. I mean, just
actually, it's been a couple. It's been a couple weeks since that year has passed.
But yeah, but still,
they probably need to get it up and running on Valve's Q&A or whatever for when they can put it up. But
still, like, you know, whatever.
But all right. They're selling it for $60 again because, of course. But at least they're giving us a 25% off special discount for like that last till October 25th, which brings it down to $45 USD.
Yeah,
45 is all right, but $60
sell for $40.
Yeah, exactly. Start at 40, and then let's go from there. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, break. Next story. Speaking of overpriced,
what's that?
I was saying, speaking of overpriced, even though it's not, go ahead.
Coming to us live from RPG Site, NIS America is bringing Ease 9 Monster Monstrum Nox to PlayStation 5 in spring 2023.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
It's not mentioned in this article, but the East 8 for the PS5 has a couple features which will probably be in this as well, but they include the ability to play the game on 120 hertz modes, so you can play 120 FPS plus 60 frames, or you could do 4K in 60 frames.
I'll do 4K in 60 frames. That's perfect. I mean, it is a difference between 60 frames and 120 frames, which my TV is definitely capable of doing.
I think it's 120 at 1080p because
yeah.
I don't think it can do 60 at 120. Most games can actually.
Yeah, I think you're right, Eric. I think it's 1080p at 120 or 4K 60, which makes sense. But I'll take 60 frames at 4K any fucking day of the week. I mean, you can tell this Ease game is like a step down from perfect graphic presentation, but I'll take that.
Like the only thing that the PS5 version of East 9 brings to the table then is slightly faster load times, which are already pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 120 hertz mode. But like, because there was already a patch out there that let you play that 4K.
4K 60 frames?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. On the PS4?
PS5.
Okay.
But that's what the patch is for.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, still, that's pretty good.
The patch, I think, is only available as an update if it reads that you're playing on a PS4.
We are finally, I know we've talked about this, I've talked about this since the beginning of Grinders, about 60 frames per second being like a gold standard, and I think we're very close to getting there. I think this, at the end of this generation, we're going to see more and more games do 60 frames 4K. Which I'm
not so sure because of Plague Tale and Gotham Knights tell a different story, but Gotham Knights has a whole host of other issues beyond 30 FPS.
No, I'm saying
yes, it probably is a horribly optimized game, but I think that's honestly the best they could have done with the time they were given.
I honestly think that we're going to be A-okay at the end of this generation, man. I think we're going to see...
Now, if you have a 120 hertz TV and you got VRR, you can get up to 40 to 45 frames per second on the new Plague Tale, but that's as much as you can get on a console, unless they optimize it with the patches later.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I think with the ability to patch and stuff by the end of this...
But I'm not sure if they'll actually be able to do that, because even the latest PC video cards are having trouble with that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's graphically intense. I mean, you're going to have to, maybe lower your graphic setting in order to achieve that 60 frames, maybe. But I think we will see some games, maybe not the newest games at that, but like some of the older PS5 games.
Just technically, Eric, the game isn't running on a constant 30. It's technically uncapped.
All right, Eric,
So it goes anywhere from 30 to 60 at any given point.
All right, give me a couple minutes to speak here, Eric. What I'm saying is that game aside, I know that one's graphically pretty great. But what I'm saying, by the end of this generation's life cycle, which is still years away, right? We're not talking about like tomorrow or anything. I think we are going to see games that are patched 60 frames 4K. They might have to do a little bit of smoke and mirrors on some of the games, but I think we are going to get that. But what I'm really calling for is a Bloodborne 60 frames patch. That's what I'm really calling for.
I'll probably do a remake before they even think about
it. Oh, God. I don't care. Either do a remake or give me a goddamn patch. And it's been proven a patch can be made for it. So, even on the PS4. So, if they can do it with the PS4, give us a goddamn patch for the PS5.
Well, Sony has been doing all these remakes, so they're apparently going to do a Horizon Zero Dawn remake.
Oh, God, why?
And they're probably going to do it again for Last of Us Part 2. Yeah. And maybe then, after all that, they'll have run out of games other than maybe Days Gone for PS5. They'll be forced to do Bloodborne.
Okay, I'm done, Breakman, you son of a bitch.
What?
All right, let's move on to the next story from RPGsite.net. This one is about Legend of Heroes Trails to Azure. Launches on March 14th, 2023 in North America, March 17th in Europe, and March 24th in Oceania. So, another kind of underrated kind of game series, I would say, the Trail series. And I've been hearing decent things about this, Eric.
It doesn't mention here, but Trails of Reverie is slated to come out somewhere in summer of next year.
Yeah, this originally.
I'm wondering if Nyota's actually being pushed to the fall, because it was apparently slated to come out first, but I guess they want to get these Trails games out as soon as possible.
More money probably for them with that.
PSP. And then 2024 could be getting the two Kuro games out in the same year.
If I remember, this game came out first on the PSP, right, Eric?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So, good games. The Trails games in general, I think, are underrated, but, so good. More exposure to the series, the better. It's an old-school RPG.
I mean, this game was probably supposed to be an early 2022. Now it's more like an early to mid, because there's so many games coming out in February. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. February is stacking up, man. February is stacking up. All right, Eric, next story.
Next story is Final Fantasy VII, the first soldier to shut down. So this is the mobile game that's a third-person shooter. And only about after a year of service, it's closing down.
Yeah.
At the 11th of January next year.
I didn't even know this was a game. Did you, Break?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. So, and you're kind of more into mobile gaming than I think even Eric or I are, Break. And you didn't even know about this game. Apparently, it's a battle royale game.
Apparently, it's kind of fun, but even without a controller for your phone set up, it's easy to play on just a touch screen.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, it sucks that it's shutting down then, but I mean, I didn't even know this was a game. So, whatever. All right, Break, next story.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu, Record of the Agarest War, coming to Switch in March 2023. Axis Games will release a Switch version of Compile Heart's developed strategy RPG Record of the Agarest War in March 2023.
It's kind of a misnomer. Red Company did this game. But, I think they had help with Compile Heart.
Yeah.
Well, this is coming next year, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else on that, Eric, before we move on?
All I want to know is why.
Why? Why does
Axis still have the IP for it, and they know they have a small contingent of fans they can milk from, maybe?
Possibly. I mean, the Switch is kind of a cash cow for a lot of companies.
I remember buying the box set for the original release on the N360 with the mouse boot pad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I remember that.
And I remember that mouse pad dying almost immediately, and I had to throw him out because it was starting to leak.
Oh, my God, it started to leak? It was silicone, man. It was leaking.
It was a bad boob job.
Yeah, it was a bad boob job. One breast is...
And from what I could tell, the game was beset by lots of technical issues, and it just overall was pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
And obviously the biggest draw was supposed to be the fan service, but I don't know if you'd honestly want to torture yourself with the mediocre gameplay to get to the fan service.
No, if it was that definitely helps, Eric, but it's got to be at least a decent game for it to be driven up a notch by fan service for me.
Are they going to tone down the fan service because it's coming to Switch?
Most likely.
But since I wasted my money, maybe I can get code from Axis, and maybe they've actually improved the gameplay somewhat. Ugh, so,
yeah, probably not.
Switch is going to war on the human body. And Nintendo has, I mean.
Yeah.
They don't like butts or boobs.
I mean, it's got to be better than the PC port that the game had.
We were kind
of... Ghostlight did, which didn't do a good job, apparently, because it has even more difficult issues.
We were kind of discussing that, Eric, like, or Breakman. We were like, you know, I don't understand the United States in general, you know, like, and Nintendo, you can throw them in this mix. Like, violence all day long. But boobs, forget about it. You know, it's like, you know. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Digimon World Next Order for Switch and PC launches February 22nd, 2023. So there you go. If you're a Digimon fan, which there are a contingent of Digimon fans out there.
I heard Next Order wasn't that great, though. I mean, kind of mid for a Digimon release.
Well, I mean, most of those games are pretty mid, right? I mean... Let's be honest, most of the Digimon games...
The Cyber Sleuth games were fun, and apparently Survive's pretty fun, and I haven't got around to it yet, though.
Yeah. All right, Eric, next story. Now we get to the good stuff.
Silent Hill stuff happened.
Yeah,
a lot. And...
A lot of it.
Silent Hill 2 Remake was formally announced. Bloober Team is the developer. People are worried that the director and the writers will not be great because the company doesn't have a good track record with writing games that have to deal with mental health, which this game does.
Yeah.
Because it always boils down to them treating people who have mental health issues as the villains that they deserve the punishment that they get.
Well, why don't they just follow the script from the game? That's all they got to do. That's not hard.
That's my biggest hope, is like, it's a faithful adaptation of the original script, but with their own touch, artistic touch to it. And doesn't deviate from the original too much.
It would have
been great if they had gotten all of the creative team behind the original two Silent Hill games to work on this alongside them, but they only got art direction and music.
I've already have a problem with this. We've discussed this. Silent Hill 2 is still in our tournament for a reason, right? I think it moved on. Let me look real quick and make sure.
It did not.
Oh no, it didn't. Dead Space beat it, but
I was gonna say this is no coincidence that they've announced the remake of it after I eliminated it from the tournament.
Right, you were the one that eliminated, you son of a bitch.
I was, but they heard that and they said, "Well, fuck, like, well, we gotta fix this."
Yeah,
and then they announced the remake.
Okay, now I do have a big problem with this. And from what I've seen, now they can correct it. They've got plenty of time to correct, right? The problem that I have with it is, if you remember the first one, it was limited because of the PS2, right? So they couldn't put the graphic detail that they wanted in it. So they ended up doing something that was kind of brilliant. They put so much fog in there that you couldn't see like 2 feet in front of you, right? Now, there is fog in this one, but it's not the same. They better add more fog, man.
That when you're inside buildings, it's like really dark.
Yeah, well, that's fine. But I want the detail in the buildings, not outside. I mean, I want the same feeling. And already I don't have that same feeling of like, you know how, have you guys ever been involved in a fog bank where it actually really is hard for you to see? Like 2 feet in front of you?
Well, maybe we don't have to worry. Maybe they have like a fog slider, and that will somewhat determine your difficulty.
Okay, well, that's what I want, because that's what set Silent Hill 2 above and beyond any other game, and to this day still is held in high regards.
Except someone playing it on the easier difficulties.
Except by Breakman.
Plus, it's not coming out for a while.
Because Breakman hates Silent Hill 2.
So they probably just showed it off as a proof of concept, and they'll add the fog later.
I hate Silent Hill 2 as much as you love fog.
All right, man. Fair enough,
Breakman. It's interesting that it notes here that the game will have a new musical style, even though Yamaoka is doing the soundtrack.
Yeah. Well,
I wonder what kind of style he's going to use over the original, which was a mix of jazz and grunge and punk.
Yeah, it was a different soundtrack for sure, but I do enjoy Silent Hill 2. All right, Breakman, speaking of Silent Hill.
Coming to us live from Silicon Air, Return to Silent Hill Live action film is in production.
Yes.
There's been a Silent Hill film, hasn't there, already?
There have been two of them. There's, two. There was Silent Hill, and then there was Silent Hill 3D and Silent Hill, which was just Silent Hill, but in 3D. But and then there was Redemption, which I heard is absolutely terrible.
It's trash. Yeah, it's trash.
Anyways, this is coming from Christoph Gyans, who directed the first Silent Hill movie. It's called Return to Silent Hill and was announced alongside a remake of Silent Hill. Why am I repeating myself at this point? Featurette was light on concrete details, but it seems that Return to Silent Hill will take its main inspiration from Silent Hill 2. It also features a man finding his wife named Mary in the iconic town. Gans spoke of the challenge of adapting the language of the game to the needs of the cinematic storytelling. That's the third Silent Hill movie. It appears to be more connected to the first film than Silent Hill Revelations, which was not directed by Gans.
Oh, yeah, it was Revelation, not Redemption.
Yeah. Gans...
You said first. This sounds more like the second.
Yeah, this is more related to the second from what I heard and read. Okay. But continue on, break.
Where was I? Gans also mentioned the Pyramid Head will make an appearance in the movie, but also that other familiar monsters will show up and make a new impact. If Pyramid wasn't in it, I think it would have got like a rating.
You know what's weird?
Yeah,
break. In the Japanese releases of the Silent Hill games, Pyramid Head was always referred to as Pyramid Thing, Red Pyramid Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is accurate but weird.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Break.
Gans and Hidide also showed off concept art and snippets of storyboards from the film, and spoke on how they want to keep the story and respect at the core of the film, even as they acknowledge that everything has changed in the intervening 15 years. As such, bringing something new is part of the goal. So yeah,
they're gonna stick to the Silent Hill 2 script, which I think is a brilliant idea. You know,
it sounds like they want to change some things just to throw in some surprises.
Yeah, you know? well, that's fine. I don't mind when filmmakers kind of experiment, you know, a little bit, but don't deviate too much from the Silent Hill 2 script, because I think it was perfect as far as the game goes. But he said something interesting here that I want to kind of expand on a little bit. He talked about translating the game, not logic. What did he say? It was
The language of the game.
Language. Okay. See, this is brilliant, and I'm glad that they recognize this, because you can't just take a game and automatically put it to screen, and it's that easy, right? There's a reason why it's harder to bring a game to life on screen. Not too many people can do it. I mean, I think he did a decent job with that first Silent Hill movie. I didn't think it was as bad as what some people thought. But it really is hard to get across the game mechanics through to a movie. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, I think a lot of the problem in the past has been people who really don't understand games are the ones making a movie.
Yes, yes, yes. That's
like
a great point.
Like the Mario Brothers movie? The hell did that have to do with Mario Brothers game?
Good, that's a great example, break. I mean, I have no rebut to that.
I felt like they wanted to make a different movie, and then they were roped into making it a Mario movie.
Yeah.
So they just changed the design of a couple things and say, "Hey, it's Mario."
That's kind of what happened with the Street Fighter movie. They're originally. Mm-hmm. The soldiers that were in the Street Fighter movie that were originally the costume stuff originally made for a G.I. Joe movie that was canceled.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just went with Street Fighter instead.
So yeah, which
was extra stuff.
Yeah, the only thing good from that Street Fighter movie was Raul Julia's portrayal of Bison, which I thought was pretty good. But other than that movie sucked.
There were some funny lines from Zangief too.
Zangief had a couple of zingers, but otherwise it
it was it was Raul Julia, and he was the best. Like, you could tell he was more talented than the entire rest of the cast.
And then you had Jean-Claude Van Damme in there, because you know, why not?
It's gonna hurt
know?
You so bad, Bison.
Bison, I thought, was awesome in that movie. I thought it was a good representation of Bison. Well, Julia, R.I.P., but... all right, speaking of more Silent Hill stuff here, guys, and something new. Silent Hill Townfall, coming from Observation Developers, comes to us from Silicon Era. So there you go. There's another Silent Hill... game related.
It is a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just looking through here. So, yeah.
I heard good things about Observation. I just haven't gone around.
Observation is good. It's in firm, good development hands. Slagar's in the house. What is up? Freakfly says, I just got off of work. Spoiler, my stinko is work. Okay. Spoilers. What's up, Slagar? Nice to have you in there. So there you go, another game coming in the Silent Hill universe, which I think is... finally, Konami is getting off their asses, I think. Now, if they could just get off their asses and give us a new Castlevania, I think we'd all be
I almost very have happy. To wonder whether or not the previous president stepped down and someone's taking charge of reamping their game
publishing. I think that has something to do with it, Eric. I think I mean, all of a sudden we get Silent Hill. When is Castlevania coming? You know,
I don't want them to sell it. I just want Konami to start selling their game.
I agree.
They don't want them, obviously. Well, I mean, it seems like with Silent Hill they want it, but I think this is because of an anniversary, isn't it?
Not that I know of. I don't think so.
I think they just want to reboot the franchise.
They just want to print money is what they want to do.
Well, so. Then why do they ignore Castlevania?
They haven't ignored Castlevania. They just haven't done much with it beyond the animated series and that shitty mobile game, which is now dead.
You know, the
version is still around.
Look, they've just been whoring it out to other franchises like Smash Brothers and... what's that, Brawlhalla, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, NFTs.
Here's the whole deal with Konami, all right? They're making a shit ton of money from fucking slot machines. I kid you not, guys. When you go
and
to...
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Hold on.
And Pro Evolution Soccer.
Hold on.
I was gonna say, they are not a broke company by any stretch.
No, they are...
And right. They don't
want just video games.
Thing. Yeah, they're just not... their passion is not with video games anymore. Which is okay.
Right. It is okay, but please sell the game franchise.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's too many fans of Silent Hill and Castlevania alone to warrant them selling off. Yeah. They could probably make a good quarter of a billion each with them, easy. You know, so why not just sell them?
I'd want Capcom to do that with Mega Man, too. Like, this is Mega Man's 35th anniversary. Did you know that, Frank?
Yes, I did know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Okay. Well, I was going to... I don't know how, because they don't ever
talk They never about say it. But I do keep up. Like, I know certain anniversaries and stuff like that. That's why when you asked about the Silent Hill, there's no significant anniversary that I know of with Silent Hill right now, break. But I get your point, man. You know, sell them. I mean, if you're not going to do anything with them, I mean, sell them.
Somebody mentioned in the leak that lead up before the presentation that had a PSN listing for Silent Hill 2. So I'm guessing they're uploading the original PS2 game as a PS4 classic of some kind.
And by the way,
so it'll be a PS4, PS5 classic game, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, Silicon Era, you have way too many ads running on your fucking website. I mean, there's like at least three fucking ads running concurrently, man. You can't do that. It's bullshit.
So if the remake of Silent Hill 2...
Go ahead, Eric.
So if the remake of Silent Hill 2 screws up, we at least will have that to fall back on.
Maybe. Yeah. What were you saying, Brake?
You were saying ads. I got a Nintendo Switch holiday ad here. I got a PlayStation 5 pop-up ad.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
An ad for them, for Silicon Era. Yeah. All
right. Mm. I mean, like I said, there's always at least three concurrent ads, and it makes no fucking sense. You can't even, you know what I mean? Like, wanted us to look at your ads, which I try to avoid. I mean, you're distracting me too much from any one of the ads. So
Speaking of annoying ads that I'm probably gonna have to put up with, YouTube Premium's upping its price to $23 a month.
Ooh, that is no bueno at all.
Yeah, I'd rather just deal with your fucking ads, YouTube.
Well, at least YouTube...
Then pay you extra money.
Oh, that's a
that
good...
you don't deserve, just yeah. So I don't have to put up with your bullshit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The inflation doesn't affect them in any way because it's a digital service.
Right.
Like, shipping costs and stuff like that, there's no effect on them whatsoever. Why?
Right. Actually, I'm going to...
This is more companies just raising profits, raising their profits, basically. Yeah.
Yeah,
how much money did the Stadia failing make you lose?
Oh, they don't. That's probably a drop in the bucket, man. That's a drop in the bucket. That's
their justification, then. They need to make up the shortfall.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of more Silent Hill news, I think who's up next? Eric, I think you're up next.
All right. Silent Hill Ascension, which is a weird interactive game that's going to be played live. I'm not sure that's going to work out that well because the company that did this before with something else, it wasn't that successful, apparently.
Yeah.
And even more dread-filling is the fact that Bad Robot is involved. So that means J.J. Abrams is involved.
No, that's not true. That's not true, Eric. They have a video game division that's been doing okay,
he is involved in this.
How do you know?
I think he's like one of the writers or directors or something.
Okay, well, I'm not as big of a hater as you are, Eric, of J.J. Abrams. I don't think he's the greatest, but I think he has done some good work movie-wise, so, I mean, maybe he can lend some good input to this, but the problem is this is going to be a multiplayer game, so, you know. Slagar said, is this the one that was on the PSP? You mean the Silent Hill?
No.
No, this is something completely different.
That's Origins.
Yeah, that's Origins, Slagar. These are all new, as far as I know, new properties for the Silent Hill universe.
I don't really understand what this game is, though.
It's a multiplayer. I'm gonna take a stab at this and say it's like a Dead by Daylight game. You know, where you're running not Dead by Daylight. What's that one I'm thinking of? Where you're running around from certain killers, and you know they put you.
It's not that kind of game, though.
What is it then? I mean, because there's no information on it.
It's this
right?
Multiplayer community led aspect of the game. I'm willing to bet. That is a mobile game that
it doesn't look like
played,
a mobile game.
That it plays out kind of like a Among Us type of situation.
Yeah.
This sounds more like a choose your own adventure that you vote on or something.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. I mean, as long as it's good.
It's not really. It doesn't sound really like a game.
It's more. Maybe it's an interactive adventure game.
You know how Twitch Plays Pokemon was a thing, where people in the Twitch chat room would command a bot to do things.
Yeah, maybe it's like that. Huh.
It's probably kind of like that.
It's interesting. All right, in our final bit of Silent Hill news, Breakman, do us the honor.
I hope it's not like that Doom on Twitter. You know that people can like text. Like, tweet to get the Doom character to move around.
Oh, my God. Let's not do that.
Anyway, coming to us live from Silicon Era, Silent Hill F will be written by When They Cry writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, When They Cry is a great VN made by Yukishio 7 of 7th Expansion. It's a really great horror vision novel that everybody should play.
What is it called, Eric?
Higurashi. When They Cry.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Ume Neko.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm excited for this, too, then. That brings an extra level to it.
I wish more people could play Higurashi because it's currently only available on Steam. It's never been released in the West on any console platform.
No.
Even though they exist.
Yeah.
Like who... What is it going to take to get Higurashi Kai and Ume Neko Kai? The Switch ports and the PS4 ports to the West.
I don't know, but this trailer looks fantastic, guys. I don't know if you've seen it. It looks scary as fuck.
At the very least, you can watch the original Higurashi series on Sentai, and Higurashi Go, and then the series that comes out after that, which is a follow-up to the original anime series.
Okay, I highly recommend people watch this Silent Hill F trailer, because it's pretty fantastic. So, it's basically this, for those who can't see it, that are listening to us, it's this girl that's walking through this, it looks like kind of a very dark and weird flower-like environment that's running through it, and then all of a sudden these flowers kind of come to life and try to grab her, and she breaks free and she's still running, but then at the end of the trailer she's like held in place with all these flowers and her face falls off. It's fucking, it's really brilliant.
It's taking place in 1960s Japan in a rural area.
All right.
Which is very Ryukishi thing to do. Yeah. So
it's very cool. It's a very cool, very stylish trailer. So I'm looking forward to this. I think probably as much as I'm looking to the Silent Hill 2 remake. So Silent Hill F, is it going to be like a game on all the platforms, or does it
say? There weren't any specified platforms.
Yeah. So I don't know. But it's cool nonetheless. I just hope it's not a mobile game. That would really suck. But anyways, looks cool from the trailer so far. So big hopes on that. That's all of the news, the Silent Hill news stuff. Now I do want to quickly mention there was a Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8 forum that Capcom was it Capcom is it Capcom? Fuck, I can never remember.
Frank's old.
Yeah, that they did, and it showed.
Capcom or Crapcom? I don't remember.
How dare you? Fans. You're exiled, Eric. You son of a bitch. But it was really cool. It had the DLC looks really good. So
it also talked a little bit of, or showed a little bit of Resident Evil 4.
It did. It showed a little bit of Resident Evil 4 remake
and reverse, if anybody cares.
The RE4. Remake looks really cool. Also, there's they're going to do a third person mode, and I think what it was it 60 frames, and I don't know, some other shit. So it's an upgrade, but the downfall is
the game is already in 60 frames.
Okay,
so they're doing 120.
120, yeah. So the shitty thing is you have to buy that DLC in order to get all the extras, you know, technical stuff. So, but Freak 5 asked you the question, break, did you see this week's Beavis and Butthead?
No, it wasn't on there when I went Thursday night.
Oh, look. The last one is good, dude.
It's maybe really you good. Checked was the wrong Friday time.
Did I mean, the last one, what was the last one? It was Bones and something else. You didn't see the one with the bones? Where they were collecting bones to make a museum.
Yeah, I saw that one. That
was okay, that's
one.
I think
that was last week.
Is there a new one this week, Freak? I mean, I didn't see it, but last week's was fantastic.
They were actually making money. It was surprising. They could have. They weren't stupid. They could have banked, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't watched any of that yet.
I know. You should watch it, Eric. It's fucking. It's so good, man. They really did save the best for last, man.
They're so stupid.
It was awesome. And then Beavis got super upset, man. It was
that was the best fucking scene.
It really was, man.
Pissed off at a guy on a dating show.
That's Catfish. Catfish. Was it Catfish or was it...
No, it was...
Ghost. Ghosted. Yeah, Ghosted. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So I've seen that show. It was boring. But I
never
the
whole, seen it.
Like, well, just to explain to Eric, apparently this...
I don't want to know. I want to watch it later.
Okay. It's really good, Eric. It's really fucking funny, man. It's so good. We should spoil it for
you know
Eric.
What, you know what ghosting is, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
an MTV show about like people searching for
the ghosts. People that ghost them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was. I think it's an all-time classic episode break. I really do, man. I think that holds up with the no laugh. I think no laughing is my standard. You ever remember that episode when they were in class and Buzzcut guy was like, you know, having sex education and they couldn't laugh because if they laughed they got expelled. And they're like, and we'll even be talking about the penis. And they're like, you know, like holding it in. And then the bell rings and they go outside and they're fucking like.
Did Mike Judge do that character too?
I don't think so. I think that's not one that Mike Judge, Yeah, he said last week's. Yes, he did see it, Freak 5. You son of a bitch. Check your glasses. You're exiled, Freak. I think that was the season finale, actually. That's why I didn't think there was a new one. But
boo.
I know. I wish they would come out with one a week, man. For the whole year, man. It would be awesome. Yeah,
that would
Even if they just made fun of, like, I don't know, TikToks and shit, I think that would be funny, man. But
whatever. Yeah, there's plenty they could make fun of. Plenty.
Yeah. Yeah, they could do like a South Park thing. Although I don't think it's as easy to produce Beavis and Butthead as it is South Park, because South Park's got their like South Park Maker software that they could quickly put, you know, stuff together. I think it's a little different with Beavis and Butthead, but whatever. Let's.
Well, every South Park episode is done like a week. Like they do, they have this insane.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, man. Those guys work really, really hard. Yeah. I mean, they really do. All right. Are there any homie discounts that anybody knows of? I know that there's a lot of less than $5 games, like Metal Gear Solid 5 for like $4 or $3. Tomb Raider Definitive Editions like $3 on PlayStation. So they're having a bang up sale on PlayStation right now. Anybody know if Xbox or Nintendo, if they're having any good sales?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm paying attention.
You, Eric?
Haven't really either.
All right, Breakman. Yes. No. All right. No, dear Breakman.
This week. Last week, so I'm not upset.
I got a homie discount.
Well, that's what I was just asking, Eric. Go ahead.
I put it in the thing. You didn't see it, apparently.
What?
The PlayStation Plus game catalog for October.
Well, shouldn't that have come out like 2 weeks? I thought that was old.
Yeah, October's almost over.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do it last week.
All right. Well, here we go. What's new?
You kind of skipped over it last week, too. So, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, the Definitive Edition, and the Medium are on. Those are the PS5 games. This is for the extra and the premium tiers, by the way. That's what the game catalog is, just for those people who are on those tiers. But PlayStation 4, there's Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered, Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, Assassin's Creed Chronicles India, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia, and Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Syndicate. And Dragon Quest XI Echoes of Elusive Age Definitive Edition.
Ooh,
Dragon Quest Builders 1 and 2. Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2.
Wow, they went Dragon Quest crazy on this.
And Grand Theft Auto Vice City, the Definitive Edition for the PS4, because the PS5 version is already here. And Pohokum, and Inside, and Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Stalker.
Striker.
If you said
Striker. Yeah. Whatever. And for the Classics catalog, they added some new games. Limbo, Ultra Street Fighter 4, Yakuza 3 Remastered, Yakuza 4 Remastered, Yakuza 5 Remastered. And if you care to play PlayStation 3 via streaming, there's Castlevania Lords of Shadow and Everyday Shooter.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There's all we got for homie discounts. All right. Let's go to what we've been playing.
Inquiring minds want to know.
All right, inquiring minds want to know what you've been playing, Breakman.
A little bit more of Alien Isolation. Just a little bit, so I'm not really far at all. Right now I'm trying to get past an alien. They suck. Fuck them.
The aliens are scary in that game, man. It's like, yeah.
As soon as you hear them scream, too, it's usually, there's not much.
It's too late. Now. Yeah, it's usually too late, man. You have to go through that game knowing that you're going to die a few times, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Definitely. I saw that there's achievements for beating the game without dying. I'm like, fuck that. Not happening.
Yeah, that's not happening at all, man. No way.
Speaking of games that where I'm not going to be surviving, I've been playing a lot of, since it's the, you know, week before Halloween.
It sounds like it's a situation where you can't cheese it like Resident Evil 2 Remake, where to avoid getting a death count for you, you gotta load the last autosave instead of doing a reload checkpoint.
What else you been playing, Break?
Friday the 13th, a lot of that. last couple weeks. Probably more of that than anything, really.
That game had a lot of promise, man. Like, I wish they wouldn't have been bickering and bitching in court about stupid shit. You know, then they could have did a lot with that game. But those developers moved on to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, which is supposed to be pretty good. So
yeah, I look forward to that, because the big problem with this game is the, like, the connection. Since it's not on a server anymore, it's if somebody quits and, you know, the game's gone. Or, I hate that when it's you're sitting there in the lobby after you've, or not in the lobby, but you're sitting there waiting to for the game to end, and somebody quits with only two people left, and it's like, fuck me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even get experience, and I'm just sitting there waiting for that, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, exactly. It really sucks, man. That's a shame, because it's a good game.
It's a good game. It's still a lot of fun, anyway. And between the other, probably the problem with that game is there's a lot of downtime, like I mentioned, where you're sitting there waiting if you're dead.
Yeah.
So I think the perfect game for playing while I'm dead or waiting in a lobby is Smash Brothers. I've been playing that a lot.
Yeah. Too. Yeah.
It's also great for football games, because there's a lot of downtime in football games, you know?
Shit, this year for the Broncos, man, that's been a lot of downtime for me. It's called turn off the TV and get the hell out of the room, you know? It's like, wow. Embarrassing. It's embarrassing, man. It's like, Jesus. But, yeah, what else, Blake? Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, Eric?
I've been playing some Plague Tale Innocence, or no, Requiem, the second game. Once that was released on Tuesday, and I quit playing that to play Persona 5 Royal, though. I started playing that today, because that's out.
Ooh.
But that's...
you mean out on PC, or what?
Everywhere.
Yeah. Persona 5 Royal's an old game, dude. I have that.
Yeah, there's a PS5 and Xbox Series X version, PC version, and Switch version now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what? That you gotta clarify for people, Eric. Like, what? Like, for PS5, or what are you playing it on?
I'm playing it on the Xbox, because the Game Pass.
Okay, there you go.
And I wanted Achievement Hunt.
It's good as ever, right, Eric?
And I'm playing it in Japanese now, because that's something I didn't do the last time I played it on the PS4.
Gotcha. Load time's better, all that stuff?
I wouldn't say they're better, because they were already really good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, what might have taken, like, 3 or 5 seconds is now, like, 2.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I noticed the difference on the PS5.
I didn't notice any now loading screens happening either, so that's another plus, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Alright, is that all you've been playing?
Because, like, sometimes you'd be, like, transitioning to a cutscene, and then it would, like, have a little logo at the bottom that says, take your time, to indicate that it's loading.
Yeah.
But, right. Yeah, that's really all I've been playing. I watched a bunch of anime, too, and a couple other shows and movies that I'll be talking about.
Yeah. For me, it's just been a little more Titanfall 2. God damn, that game is good. Rake, man, that game is just good. It's. I mean, I'm not a first person shooter guy, but every once in a while, I'll throw in something. You know, I did like Bioshock, but I have to say this is up there with Bioshock as one of my favorite first person perspective games of all time so far. I mean, unless it doesn't stick the landing, which I'm pretty sure it will, man. It's got a decent story.
See, Frank, I didn't mention what platform I was playing Persona 5 Royal on, because I assumed everybody knew that there was a new multi-platform release
happening. Yeah, but even still, like, which platform? You have a PS5, you have an Xbox, you have a PC, Eric, so these are things that we'd like to know. But Titanfall 2 is good. Did you?
I plan on getting it on Steam, to play on my Steam Deck eventually. But
yeah, Breakman, did you play Titanfall 2 all the way through?
Oh yeah. I don't remember the ending, but I played it all the way through, and then I played a lot of multiplayer.
Pretty damn good game, man. I mean, yeah. Campaign wise, I can't speak for the multiplayer, because I refuse to play it because I suck. But you know, whatever. All right.
But the one thing that bothers me is that the PS5 version you have to start from the beginning because there's no save transfer thing at all, and the trophies don't carry over either, so I'll have to do that all over again.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're going to do it for a game, it would be Persona 5, one of the greatest RPGs of all time, but, you know.
At least I can skip all the cutscenes when I play it that way.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to reviews.
RP Grinders, reviews.
Breakman, did you have any reviews this week?
I do have some reviews.
All right.
I actually watched a new TV show and a couple of new movies. I guess I'll start with the bad. I'll work from bad to good. Which one of these was worse? Okay. What?
I just coughed a little.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I was wondering what you're saying. Okay, sorry. So the first is about I guess it's Netflix, a TV show about this kind of well-off family who buys this nice house in like a quiet neighborhood, and they start getting threatening letters. And the show's called The Watcher.
Ooh.
I believe I hated every moment of it. I didn't even watch most of it. Wow. After a while, I just kind of walked away and started playing Smash Brothers and whatever. I hated the characters. The couple that I'm supposed to feel bad for, I just thought they were insufferable.
I'll talk about it after. There's a series that makes me feel that way, and I'll talk about it after you finish your review here, Break.
I think Ms. Breakman wants to say something about it.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Do you?
Come on, Mrs. Breakman, you can do it.
Yeah, don't spoil it, though. She said it was a waste of time.
It was a waste of time.
Okay, yeah. All right.
It was definitely a waste of time. Characters sucked. The people you're supposed to be kind of like feeling bad for, like just like the guy was just angry and yelling half the time, and all the neighbors were all insufferable. It was just like, I can't take this shit.
You know, there are very few series like that where almost every character is irredeemable. Break. Yeah. But I'll go ahead and finish your review, and I'll talk quickly about it.
There was, like, a kid, I think. There's a little boy in this show, so he's okay. And,
yeah.
And there was like, a guy with definitely mental issues, and, like, he wasn't bad. But everybody else sucked. His mom was horrible.
Okay, you want
to... The Watcher's a piece of crap. It's supposed to be, a mystery as to who's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I could spoil it right now.
You might as well. I'm never going to see it.
I'll give this a 2
spoiler out of, alert.
I'm going to give this a 2 out of 10, and the main reason it's going to get low scores is because they never fucking answer the mystery.
Oh, wow. So they're keeping it for like a season 2 type thing?
I guess, or whatever. Like, they're a bunch of misnomers. You know, like, oh, this person confesses, and this person confesses. But then, like, no, they never even figured it out.
Oh, boy.
You have a mystery, and you don't fucking solve it, like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
maybe. What if the idea was they are all the Watchers at some point?
Well, the thing is, it's based on like a true story. So, and the true story is like the people never actually find out who did it. But this is based on a true story, like not like The Conjuring is based on a true story. You know?
Right. The series
give us the fucking answer and shit. Like, you know, it was right. Just bullshit. So don't watch The Watcher. It's just gonna feel you leaving. You're gonna feel empty after watching The Watcher.
Yeah, you know, a series that I was like, I don't know why the fuck I watched so much of it, but I realized that why am I watching this at some point? I just stopped watching after like 6 or 7 seasons. Was Shameless? I fucking hate that show. And it's because there's no good character in it. Like, every single one, like you mentioned a kid, there's like one kid that the only reason that he's not a piece of shit is because he's not old enough to be a piece of shit yet.
Right, you know? Exactly.
You know, it's like, but everybody else in that series is an absolute fucking piece of trash, you know, and they all fucking suck, and they're all, I don't know, it's just...
Yeah, they don't deserve each other, just go away.
Yeah.
Be with each other, not with us.
I don't know why that series was so fucking popular. Maybe because people like watching train wrecks. You know, it's like, fuck. It's Shameless.
From what I could tell, that's what the follow-up to the Death Note writers, it was called Platinum End, and they made an anime adaptation of it, and it's basically the same premise where they're in a situation that's similar to a death game, but they're all kind of assholes.
Yeah. I mean, Shameless sucks. I wouldn't recommend anybody watch Shameless, even though a shit ton of people did. I think that's I think it's like Showtime's most popular show ever or some shit, but it's awful.
Like, what the interesting thing about Death Note was that you were supposed to see just how far the villain could go before they their plot blew up in their face.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't always hate, like, I like bad characters. Like, you need, like, bad guys.
Yeah, I don't, And
when characters are sometimes, I just mean that I like horrible characters usually, but
yeah, I
and they're
get
all
it.
Like insufferable, and they're just yes. not likable in any way whatsoever.
Yep, that's what I mean. Like, there's like
you're supposed to feel sympathy for them and compassion for them, but you just can't really muster it. You know, what I mean?
Like there's one character in particular that comes to mind, Breakman. Like he's this like teenager. Like he's a late teenager. Maybe he's like 20 years old or something, but he's like super smart. So like you're supposed to like. Think like, oh well, maybe he's gonna go to college and all this, and he's like, no, he just wastes his life away, and he's a piece of shit, and you know, yeah. just like that's the type of thing that you can expect in Shameless. It's just one shitty scenario after another, and you're supposed to think that it's all like whimsical, that these people are stealing from the neighbors or causing someone else misery to get themselves, and it's like, I fucking wished every one of these characters would die, like literally, you know, it's like. Holy fuck, it's a train wreck of a show. But whatever. I think that's why people watched it. Maybe that's why I watched it for so many years, you know? But anyways, next review, yeah. Breakman.
Next, also on Netflix. And I don't know why we watched it. We've sworn before we wouldn't watch Netflix movies ever again.
Wait, you watched Marriage Story?
What's that? Yeah, we mean it this time. She just said we mean it this time. We definitely mean it this time. But the reason we've stopped and watched this, and we were kind of looking for something like a horror-ish or something
like that.
This one said, written by Stephen King.
Oh my god, you didn't do it.
Yeah, so we watched Mr. Harrigan's Phone.
Oh god, you did it. You took one for the team.
The most boring goddamn movie. Again, like The Watcher, like I felt unsatisfied when it was over with. Like I didn't feel like they really, like they posed questions that they didn't give answers to, that thing. But this one at least had good actors. Donald Sutherland was the main character. I guess him and the kid was from, you said the It movie. What was he from? Oh, he was from something else. He was a good actor. Like, there were good performances in it. It was just so fucking boring, and it was supposed to be. It was highlighted as like a spooky thing I guess explain what it is, what the story is. Basically, a kid goes to work for a billionaire, reclusive billionaire, as he's getting old, as he's coming to the end of his life, and at a point in the movie, like the billionaire's. Like really capitalistic and stuff like that. He's a really hard guy to like, because he sees everything as, you know, through the capitalist lens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like heavy, like he's like the quintessential billionaire type thing. But the kid like bonds with him and at one point buys him a phone and, you know, shows him how to use the phone and stuff like that. And there was supposed to be like spookiness with the phone, because after he dies, the kid starts getting like kind of gibberish text messages every once in a while.
Of course it has to be. If it's spirit, like you know, ghosts and stuff, they're always cryptic. They can never just, you know, come out with what they want to say, but okay.
Yeah. But that doesn't even happen until when there's like 20 minutes left in the movie, basically, or like a half hour, 20 minutes. Like, the movie's almost over by the time that starts happening.
Yeah.
Because it builds up the relationship with him and the old man. But yeah, it's boring and unsatisfying, and I'm gonna give that one a 3, I guess.
You know what you should have saw instead, Breakman? Incantation, which I'll be reviewing later, and that's an actual Netflix movie that's really good. So,
well, this other one is a movie that we saw on, was that Amazon Prime? On Amazon Prime, and this one I actually liked. I liked this a lot, actually. It started off kind of slow as they were, you know, trying to develop it, and they teased you along the way that something was going to happen.
And every time you flirt with it, it's like you kind of get a little excited. But the new Candyman movie was pretty sweet.
I like that movie, man. I'm glad you watched that.
On there?
It's on Amazon Prime or Paramount.
It's Amazon Prime.
I know. Oh. Yeah, I know these things. Did you like it, man? That's really cool.
Yeah, oh yeah. It had like a slow burn to it. I have a perfect analogy you break, man, to describe The Watchers. Oh, did you see it too?
Okay.
But like I said, kind of a slow burn because they were not really throwing it at you the same way as the normal Candyman, which is like, you know, I want to find Candyman. And it was about an artist and how, like, he was kind of connecting to it.
Yes. Candyman. Yeah.
And how it was connecting to the culture of the neighborhood and the history of black culture and lynching, such like that, especially, which was a big theme of the original, but they didn't really go into it.
Yeah, they touched on it in the original, but of course, you know, people would have been up in arms if they, you know, went any further. But yeah, dude, I'm glad you brought that point up, because I think it's as good as a quote-unquote, it's not even a remake, it's kind of a sequel.
It's a sequel. It is a sequel, because Tony Todd makes a brief cameo in it.
Yep.
But his character is talked about a lot.
Yes. It's really good.
I love the concept they changed. They changed it from basically it being one man to being more of a concept and being like more than one guy.
Yes, I think I reviewed Candyman much in the same way, man, because I saw it a long time ago, and it's pretty good.
But my favorite part is when they're like teasing it every once in a while, like, you know, Candyman, like, come on, get the five. Ah!
They don't quite get there.
Was worth it when Candyman finally shows up. It's worth it.
Yes, and there's multiple, like you said, multiple iterations, which makes it even more powerful. You know, and like, you know, I don't know, it's just really, really good.
Yeah, I don't Freak want Five, any more getting spoilers.
Freak Five gave your analogy there.
You're getting a great blowjob. You're almost there, and Thanos snaps, and your partner disappears.
What?
She wishes Tony Todd was in it more.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I do
have one more thing I want to say about it. It made me watch the whole credit scenes to the end. Instead of having a post-credit scene, what they did was this really cool comic-style art.
Yes.
Of all the various iterations of the Candyman, how they died.
Yep.
Like a puppet art style. Yeah, it was really cool done.
And I'm with Mrs. Brakeman. Anything Tony Todd in is worth watching, because he's actually a classically trained actor and super good. Tony Todd's an excellent actor and very underrated. Very underrated. He gets typecast in a lot of these horror movie, you know, kind of B movie horror movie type things, but you know, because of his deep voice, and you know,
he also does a lot of cartoons
because his voice is captivating. Miss Brakeman's on point. His voice is definitely up there with all time greats. He's awesome, and I wish they would give him more like meatier roles in Hollywood, like, you know, because he's really good. He's a classically trained actor. I think he went to Juilliard, if I'm not mistaken. He's also got
more balls than most any actor, because the original movie with the bees coming out of his mouth.
Yes! Oh my god.
He had real bees in his fucking mouth.
He got stung.
There's no goddamn way in hell you could have paid me to put real bees in my fucking mouth.
Well, I'm allergic. I couldn't. But he had a clause in his contract. The insurance called, like, every time he got stung, it was like $10,000. So, and he got stung quite a bit. So he was like, you know, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'd get stung for 10 bucks.
Yeah. Once, but not in my mouth.
Yeah, not in the mouth.
I'm not allergic to him, but I just don't like the inside of my mouth getting stung. Like,
right. He's
able to eat or drink for it. Like,
so what are you giving Candyman?
I'm gonna give Candyman 8.5.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's exactly what I gave it when I reviewed it a while back.
There's a huge jump in quality between Candyman and the other two movies. If you're looking for a horror movie, Candyman's fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic
movie. Wait till you hear my review of Incantation later. But
it's a Netflix movie. I'm not falling for this trick.
No, you got to make an exception for this one.
No, we didn't.
Well, wait till I get to it. You have any more reviews, Break?
Phone.
Break so it. Bad. Is that it?
First, you have to ask yourself: is it a Netflix movie or is it a movie on Netflix?
It's got an N on it. I don't know if I'll talk about it when I get to it, guys. But are you done, Blake?
I'm not sure. I think Mr. Harrigan's and The Watchers are both like Netflix.
Yeah, those are Netflix productions. I'll have to look up Incantation here pretty soon. But anything else, Blake?
Nope, that's it.
All right. That's how Freak Pipe felt about the end of the Dark Tower series, he says. Yeah. Very unsatisfying is what you're saying, Freak Pipe. All right, Eric.
I know this with Stephen King. I know they're like, for every good one, there's like a bad one too. Like, it's always been like that with him. Like, yeah. There's been ups and downs. Yeah, but there have been so many good ups that it's like, okay, Stephen King, I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah. You know. All right.
It's like a Final Fantasy game, you know?
Right. You got to give it a try. Right. Okay. Eric, you have some reviews here.
Yeah. You said you wanted to do this too. So, Beast. I saw Beast.
Oh, yeah. Beast. Okay. What did you think of it, Eric?
The X-Men guys own movie?
No.
No.
Oh, damn. Okay. Never mind.
All right. All right, Eric.
But, this is a creature feature movie, and stars Idris Elba, and he's playing as a bad dad to two girls, who's been divorced from his wife, and then she died, and now they're going to visit the place that she used to live at, which is somewhere in an African country somewhere. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the language they were speaking, but I'm guessing it.
Punjabi.
What?
Punjabi. No, I'm kidding. That's
Punjabi?
No, I'm kidding, dude. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't listen to Frank. It's a trap. It's a trap!
It's a trap!
But, anyways, they, meet this, guy who's, I guess, working at this preservation, who's a friend of their mother's, and that's how they apparently met and got married, but, anyways, they mess around with the lions for a bit, then they go into a town, and they find that the town's mostly deserted, and then they find out later, like, after some investigation, that people have been massacred. And it turns out there's a lion from some opposing tribe that's going around just indiscriminately killing everybody because he assumes all humans approaches.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get revenge for his entire tribe being wiped out.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But he, like, it's a super intelligent lion. and so it kind of reminds me a little bit of The Gray and that Gator movie, but without the flooding.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie, Eric. Crawl. You're thinking of Crawl. Yeah. So what are you giving this Beast?
It's only an hour and a half long, so it's about as long as Crawl.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it let's see, 7. Maybe.
Yeah, I give it a 7.5. I think it's an above average creature feature, and Idris Elba is really good in it. Every actor is really good. Direction was fine. I wish I could have seen a little more of the lion, but it was pretty badass, man. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest thing I've ever seen, but for a creature feature, pretty damn good. So I concur, Eric. It you know, 7.5 is for me just slightly more than what you gave it, but I think it's a worthy score. 7.5 in there. All right, what else you got, Eric?
I saw Jurassic World Dominion, the extended edition.
Yes.
It's not a bad movie, but it goes on far too long.
Yeah.
It was like, it's not, by the way, saying it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie if you just accept the fact that it's absolutely banana stupid.
Yeah, I can't accept it anymore because most of those movies, that's the premise, just bananas, you know. But all right, So you want to get? I mean, I think we know the basic plot, right? They're, I mean, overrun with dinosaurs. It's kind of the
planet's been overrun with dinosaurs. They've learned to live with it, apparently. And while they're learning to deal with it, the ramifications of genetic power as a whole are coming to bear, and some company somewhere is fucking with shit it shouldn't be, and is trying to gain control of the world basically through controlling the crop supply, they're creating a problem and then also showing us the solution.
Yeah,
to buy our crops instead, basically.
Yeah,
by having locusts go destroy other crops, but it gets out of hand because, of course, it does.
Yeah,
and it's less about the dinosaurs. The dinosaurs are about the background.
Yeah,
noise rather than anything else. They only really become a set piece until like the last hour.
Yeah. But
it's also continuing the story of that clone girl who was, like, I guess the cloned daughter of some researcher who was genetically bred in a lab, I guess. Yeah. And she apparently found out how to clone herself and get herself pregnant without the aid of men. So basically, she cloned and then fertilized an egg without any assistance from anybody else, and they're trying to figure out how she did that, because apparently she has a link with Blue, the dinosaur pal of Chris Pratt's character, because Blue ended up being able to do the same thing, and so they kind of wanted to use it to help people, but obviously, this rich capitalist venture guy wants to take advantage of that, but he's also trying to like extract genetic code from both of them so that they could solve the issue with these super giant locusts, because apparently there's something in their DNA that can help fix that.
Yeah. All right. So, what are you giving Jurassic World Dominion?
I'm giving it a 4.5.
Alright, yeah, see, I think it's below average as well, Eric, and I was going to give it I think I gave it a 4 when I saw it, so that's not far off from what I said too, so. Alright, on to your last review, Eric.
I mean, I did see the extension, so yeah, that puts it at near 3 hours, but even the original theatrical release was really long, so
yeah.
I think they only added about 25 minutes to the movie, maybe.
That's a lot to add, but it didn't add anything special from what I can tell, so.
Yeah.
All right, but,
the other thing I watched was Werewolf by Night. It's a thing.
It's a man thing.
I guess it's... I never read the comic, so I don't know how I feel about how well it was adapted, because I never read it. So, based on what I just saw, all these hunters that go around killing stuff like werewolves and vampires and whatever, all the occult monsters that you could think of, are basically in a death game to claim this thing called the Bloodstone that grants you power, and become the heir of this dude who's apparently like was one of the better beast hunters. And it's all in black and white, except for certain things like the Bloodstone. And it only becomes Technicolor, yes, that kind of color, at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
But does this have any connections to the MCU at all, other than being a Marvel property?
You know what? That's an interesting question, Eric. And I think Kevin Feige said that it is going to have bigger implications in the MCU. I don't know if that means that Man-Thing is going to have a bigger part in the MCU or what, but there are connections. Kevin Feige's on record as saying that this is...
Is Ted a character in the MCU, or is he just a character in Werewolf by Night that they might put into the MCU?
You mean the main protagonist, dude?
No, not... Well, him and his Cthulhu-looking friend.
Yeah, that's Man-Thing, and Man-Thing is definitely a part of the MCU, and him... is a part of Werewolf by Night, and according to Feige, there is going to be connections to the MCU. So I'm assuming it's going to be with the Blade movie, and that's why they're kind of, they put the Blade movie on the shelf for now because they're reworking some things. So I'm guessing that they're you know, that's where that's going to come into play, if I had a guess. So, but I like this Werewolf by Night. And you know, shooting in black and white and kind of the acting style remind me of the old school Universal movies, which was
kind of cool. So I'm going to give this a 6.
Yeah, I give it a little higher, Eric. I think it's 7.5. I almost gave it an 8. I think it does... You know, it does harken back to the comic book a little bit with some of the references. And the fact that they brought Man-Thing in it was pretty fantastic. Man-Thing is an awesome character, and, you know, I hope for the best on that. Freak
Five said, called Man-Thing because he was a man at some point?
Yeah. You got to read the comics, dude. Or just read the synopsis on Wiki, whatever. I watched The Cat's Eye for the first time in decades, and also Class of Nukem High 2, Subhuman... Humanoid Meltdown. I also finished season 3 of The Boys. Oh, about time, man. Pretty fantastic on season 3. I think Break gave season 3 of The Boys a 10. I gave it not as high of a score, but pretty high. Am I right, Break?
Yes. One thing I want to know about the movie is it supposed to be taking place in modern day? Because some of that armor looked pretty advanced.
I do think it takes place in modern day. Eric, I mean, it's going to have to. Break, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, did you like season 3 of The Boys?
Yeah, I gave it like a 10 out of 5 or something.
Yeah, I knew you liked it quite a bit. So, all right, I'm going to real quickly go through mine. First thing, Rings of Power, the new Lord of the Rings series on Prime. At this point, I wouldn't bother. I think there's like 3 or 4 stories intertwined, and pretty much nothing happens. The orcs have one battle with some elves and some townspeople, I think. But other than that, I think it's pretty worthless. I don't know how.
I've seen divided opinions on this. Like, a lot of people seem to hate it, or they really enjoyed it, but I have to wonder if those people are people that are types that are just easily entertained.
I guess, Eric, but see, even from an entertainment point of view, like, nothing happens until 3/4 of the way through the season. The hobbits are, I mean, nothing happens with them at all.
Well, isn't that kind of how the Lord of the Rings works in the first place, though? Well,
I mean, there's no spice, like, to this. You know, like, with Lord of the Rings, the main trilogy of movies, there's lots of spice, right? There's lots of there. And in this series, they're just nothing. I mean, I guess Galadriel is kind of a cool character, but she even gets put her in her place now, by
is
the
this basically
hold on.
Just,
what, Eric? Go ahead.
I just want to know if it was... is this basically the Silmarillion, or is it just something else?
It's... I don't know what it is. It just takes place 200 years before Lord of the Rings, I think. I think that's what it is. Like, the Rise of Sauron, I guess, and the Orcs, and Mordor, and stuff like that. You know, it's like... I don't know. Yes, I love spice, Breakman, and fog a lot. Fog is awesome. I very rarely get to see fog here in Denver. We very rarely have it. But if I had to give Rings of... now, look, does that mean I'm not going to watch season 2? They do kind of set up season 2 as being better because, you know, they allude to Sauron and all the events that are coming. But I just... Yeah, see, Slagar, I guess she's kind of cool because I'm still undecided. Like, by the end of the series, they chop her down to basically nothing. So I think I agree with you, Slagar. I don't know, man. Like, this series, for me, it's a 4 out of 10. I think it's below average. I don't know where they spent their $1 billion in. Maybe the effects, and even the effects aren't great. I mean, it's not like the greatest thing in the world. I mean, I've seen better series. I mean, right now, House of the Dragons is going on HBO, and I think it's a far superior series to Rings of Power. So right now, first season, 4 out of 10 for me. I think it's well below average, and I don't see any reason to watch season 1. Just go straight to season 2. Hopefully season 2 will be better. Now, I alluded to a movie earlier. Breakman, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you have to watch Incantation. It's a great horror movie. And it is a Netflix. I looked and it had the N on it. I don't know if that's just because they acquired it or because they produced it. But either way, do not let that deter you. Incantation is a pretty damn scary good movie. And it involves a woman that has a daughter that was placed in protective custody for good reason. And you kind of get that the reason why she hasn't had her daughter for 4 years through the story. And it's an excellent way of it's a good film showing how the events unfolded. Like for instance, you see like she has a bite mark on her neck and you're like kind of wondering, how the hell did that get there? What the hell did this woman go through? And you get to see it from start to end, like how the events take place. And there's a few twists and turns that you don't see coming. And it's got a little bit of a cult in there. It's got a little bit of magic, not like magic in the sense of, you know, you see like magic Lord of the Rings style, but you know what I'm saying? There's like apparitions. It's just, to me, it's a good movie to watch. I highly recommend it. I give it an 8.5 out of 10. I think it's the only thing that sets it back is there's shaky cam moments. Like sometimes it's got like that, what do you call that? Found footage type thing. And that's kind of the premise, but most of it is shot statically. So, it's really cool. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's good.
Just cop outs.
What's that?
Like the Paranormal Activity movies were crap.
Mostly. I do like, the only one I like Bernie and I discussed this yesterday, actually, Breakman. The only one that's worthy, in my opinion, is Marked Ones. All the other fucking paranormal movies, including the first, just sucked ass. But
there's a whole lot of nothing going on. Yeah. Every once in a while, you'll see like somebody standing over a bed looking at somebody.
Yeah, no.
At the end of the movie, they'll flash a monster for a
second. Yeah, I know. I think those movies are way overrated and horrible, yeah. But Incantation is worthy of. Slagar says, I think she is one of those characters where if they had the better actor, might be completely better. I don't know, Slagar. I don't think they gave her much to work with at all. She was pretty badass at one point, and then by the end of that series, she's like, you know, reduced to nothing. Like, you know your place, woman, type of thing, you know, but whatever. So Incantation gets high marks from me. Break in, and I think you should make an exception, but everything else on Netflix sucks, so you know, it is what it is. Alright, we have to move on to the everybody's favorite segment.
What is it?
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, your Stinko of the Week.
Alright, I put a link in the Skype chat.
Yes.
You see that picture there?
Let's take a look at it. Okay, yes, I do.
This is a mural that was painted in a high school in Michigan, I guess.
All right.
And this mural here caused a firestorm.
Why?
Of parents flipping out that this mural was let me see, it has LGBTQ propaganda, sorry. As a depiction of Satan, and it's a message of witchcraft.
Okay, where's Satan? I want to know where Satan is. I see that
there's like a little tiny, like, she said it's a video game character, which I don't doubt, since this thing looks like it's made to be very inclusive.
Oh, that little thing in the up down, like bottom right, that with horns. Or the one?
No, it's up on the left, underneath that
Santa.
I don't know what that thing is with a mask.
And oh, the Santa type thing. Oh, yeah. I see, the little devil character. Okay.
And most of these characters are gender neutral characters for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that was made to be inclusive and nice, but because it's propaganda, gay propaganda, it ends with the little girl crying and leaving the meeting because she was berated by adults. It's fucking because the girl has like a rainbow outfit, for instance.
Right.
That's gay because she's wearing a rainbow.
So am I to believe that Pippi Longstocking was gay because she had rainbow stockings and, you know, stuff like that?
This girl looks more like Rainbow Bright. Who knows?
That's what I mean. Rainbow Bright. That's what I meant, Eric.
Because that was a show that existed. They brought it back at some point.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Really? Yeah,
these are, for the most part, gender-neutral characters. I mean, this isn't... I don't know why they think this is, like, how this is propaganda anyway, but...
You mean the Christian material that they've been raised on wasn't propaganda?
I mean, like, I'm looking at this mural. There's nothing offensive about it at all, man. Like, really? People are that... Like, even people that are anti-gay probably wouldn't even find too much wrong with this. You know, I mean, other than the little rainbow on her dress or overalls, whatever.
It got so bad. Like, this is, for instance, you say that, and there's somebody, a parent described herself as a conservative, right-wing, gun-loving American, admonished parents for going after the student artist so viciously. I've never seen more bigoted people in my life.
You see? That's what I'm saying.
That's from somebody who calls herself a gun-loving conservative.
Yeah.
Like, that's how badly they were attacking this little girl.
God, man. Well, I hope that the national attention that this girl gets is like, you know, gets her a lot of attention, a lot of money. That's what I'm going to say.
I doubt it'll happen. I think the story passed over because this was like a few days ago. And you know how the news cycle is.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, one day news cycle and they're on to the next. You know,
yep.
Whatever. How shitty of you people that you berate somebody for creating art. You know, this is purely an art piece. I when I first looked at this, I was like, what's offensive about it? Like, I guess I just don't see color or, you know, like sexual orientation or any of that.
Like, there's none of that, but they say this is implied and this is in documentation. Like, I don't see any penises. I don't see any naked breasts.
Right. Like, there's nothing. Like,
sexual in any way.
Well, whatever. I'm glad it's on the wall.
What if there were guns in this picture? You think that any of them would complain?
Probably not. Like I said, if there's boobs, there'll be complaints. If there's anything that's quote-unquote gay, there'll be complaints. Violence? Fucking show people getting their heads lopped off, and it's A-okay. You know, I'm fine. Video games are okay in that way. But heaven forbid, do you remember the uproar with God of War? Like, you found this secret area and it had boobs and people lost their fucking minds. But like, they weren't worried. Right. They weren't worried about Kratos, like, ripping people's heads off or demons' heads off or all the blood and all that shit, you know, or the violent ways in which he dispatched enemies. None of that. I mean, that's okay. Oh, but there's a hidden area with boobs. Holy hell, you know. And then the sex happens off screen, and they lost their fucking minds, man. But anyways, continue on, Breakman. I'm sorry.
Like I said, remember Hot Coffee? Like, that was the whole nothing.
Yeah, it was a nothing murder. Like,
badly, I guess they didn't really finish making the sex scene or something. Like, it was just, it looked terrible, you know. There was no nudity in it, and it was just, how did this become something that the Congress had to review, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was marketing to kids. No, it's mature rated. It was not marketed to kids.
Who is that Thompson character that was like a lawyer that, you know, was like trying
Thompson.
To get... Like,
Jack Thompson.
Yeah, John Thompson was like trying
Jack to... Thompson.
Jack Thompson was trying to get like the games banned and all this shit. It's like, dude, come on, man. That's so anti-American. You know, I mean, get the fuck out of here. But anything else, Blakeman?
Are you going to argue that it's absolutely American?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, blame entertainment for problems of society has been a trademark of this country. So, why not?
Art's responsible for everything. Yeah.
We're going to war in Europe, so obviously it's the comic book fault.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, if it's not that, it's heavy metal music, man. You know that, right?
And lack of God, we don't talk about God enough.
Right. Okay, what else you got, Break?
Oh, my other stinker, Stinko goes to a company called Cock Dentures.
Cock Dentures?
Oh, yeah.
Cock Dentures.
Rooster Teeth.
Rooster Teeth. Oh, that's what their name used to be, but now it's Cock Dentures.
Oh.
apparently they... are even more homophobic than the parents that this that degraded the child at the for the painting.
All kinds of bigotry.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia.
Don't forget pro-capitalism, too.
yeah, apparently Rooster Teeth was one of the worst places ever. And, yeah, we're just really finding out about it.
They basically just made people crunch a lot. And when it came to dealing with harassment, they basically told them to go fuck themselves. And or you know, doing the fake apology and then not doing anything.
According to some people, like the slurs were commonplace among staff and stuff like that.
Also, not getting paid for or credited for certain work.
Yeah, that too. That's yeah. How do you not fucking pay people? It's ridiculous. Yeah. So yeah. So cock dentures gets my other stinko, and that's it.
Fuck 'em, man. Freak 5 says went to work earlier this week, and one day. Was pharmacy tech recognition day. No problem with that. The pharmacy techs got snacks and had some drawings for private prizes. Part of my stinko is they never do anything like that for inventory. The other departments have incentives throughout. The year when they have a chance to win cash or gift cards. The other part is they have a retention bonus. In 6 months, any of the pharmacy techs that are on the floor actually filling prescription who have been there the entire 6 months are getting $1,500 bonuses. So the next day, an inventory has a meeting, and we asked about if there was something like that for us. And our supervisors, who are pharmacy techs but not eligible for the bonus, said they asked and nothing.
See, this is all bullshit to begin with. Like, you shouldn't be working harder to get like an extra gift card or something like that. You should be getting more money. You should be paid more money.
Welcome to capitalism.
Every company on this planet is underpaying their employees.
No doubt. I've said it for how long, Breakman? Like, this is something that I don't understand why Republicans don't understand.
I can only kind of get it the place I work, because they only just recently got bought out by a bigger company, a much bigger company.
Why is it?
They couldn't do that. And they're in the middle of a transition, and the expansion that they spent money on is a multi-million dollar project. I'm gonna have to seriously start complaining if things don't significantly improve after all that's settled.
Well, here's my thing, Eric and Break. Like, why is it okay for a CEO of a company to make anywhere between 20 and 50 times the median worker of a company? Why is that okay?
Frank, that's the point I was going to get to. Right now, it's over 1,000.
Well, okay, 1,000. But on average, it's...
You just blew that off like it was nothing. The average CEO is making 1,000 times more than the employee.
I think the last numbers I looked at, Break, were like 20 to 50 times.
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about average.
Yeah. The average numbers are 20 to 50 times. So if a median worker is by chance making 30,000, I mean, think about that. 50 times 30. What is 50 times 30? Somebody do that for me. 30,000 times 50. What does that equate to? Here, I'll do it.
Frank.
He's an old man. He's forgotten how to do math properly.
Times 50.
How old he is.
Shut up, wow. Son of a bitch. That's 1,500,000 a year, right? So, and you're right, Brake. There are CEOs that make much more than that, plus their golden parachutes, plus this, you know, bonuses. Plus, you know, some CEOs make upwards of 30, 40, 50 million. So,
don't forget the company welfare that these companies make.
Yeah, plus the company welfare from the government. So, people bitch about socialism a lot, right? Like I've gotten...
That's socialism. It's just not for us.
No, yeah, we do have socialism, but it's for companies. Like the PPP loans that were given out, that were forgiven. Like, why can't they do that with student loan forgiveness, period? You know, but then you get people that say, oh, that would ruin the country. It would raise inflation. Well, how about we stop giving companies all these fucking tax breaks and all these fucking incentives and PPP loans and all this other shit, and we start doing things for the American people? like raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour or 20, it well, actually
a recent guy you got know its minimum wage of like $7.50
no,
up to
10
now.
No. How about look? This is something I'm going to say, and this is I don't know why this is so controversial, but it is. If we kept up with inflation, you know what minimum wage today should be in the year 2022 going into 2023? It should be $22 an hour. I don't give a fuck if you're working at McDonald's, which people say is unskilled. Okay, that's fine. Or if you're working at Walmart as a checker or whatever the fuck. Or if you're working a welding job, those jobs should be paid a little more because they're highly skilled.
I think we need to make a distinction here, though, because minimum wage does not equal a living wage.
Right.
A living wage is something we should be getting, but at the very least, if we can't get that, it should be a minimum wage, and the minimum wage should be higher. But
the minimum wage
advertised, the way our country is supposed to work, supposedly, is that you come in at like a minimum wage job, and then you work your way up in a company and get more money. That's not the way it's working now, because the CEOs are taking most of the money.
Yeah, it
so
should be
instead of getting like major raises as you go up in the company, you're getting moderate raises.
Yeah,
incremental type stuff. You're not getting the kind of pay and the kind of benefits that you should be getting because they're all going to the top.
The minimum should be $22 an hour, and then there's all this like. There's saltiness when I mention like we should, you know, forgive student loans and all this. Well, I went to college and, you know, I don't think it's fair. You're just fucking salty. Who gives a shit if someone else gets free education? You did it. You made it. Good for you. You know, hopefully you have a good paying job. A lot of people in your position are making, you know, $7 an hour in the southern states. And
you might get me mad at kids that go to schools that can give them touchpads to help them learn.
No,
I
want absolutely to
love
that
not. I was in school, but I'm not going to begrudge them for that.
Yeah, that exactly, Eric. Like when I was in elementary school, we didn't have fucking computers to help us learn. Right? We had to do hard work through textbooks. And am I salty that now modern there's iPads and all kinds of shit to help kids learn? Fuck no, I'm not. I think more of that should happen. That's what I want my tax dollars to go to, along with infrastructure and other things. You know, I want free education for everybody else. I mean, I can't believe people are salty at people getting free education. I don't understand. Oh, our taxes are going to go. Our taxes go up anyways because we give billions upon billions of dollars to corporations that don't fucking deserve it.
We have a media that is that advertises this is the way it should be. Like our media pretends like this is everything's okay like this, pretty much. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They I forgot what point I was about to make was.
Yeah.
Sorry. You said something. I was gonna add something to it. Now I can't remember what.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Freak 5 continues the story. The end of the meeting, that night shift, the night shift is told that our hours are getting changed to stay an hour later because the warehouse is getting our drug truck to us too late. So in the meeting, I'm basically told your job isn't worthy of a bonus to make sure you're staying, and here's a reason for you to want to quit. But your job is important enough that we want it done, which is why we are changing your hours to make sure it gets done. Next day, HR has given us a tour of the facility to an interviewee, and when they are near where I am working, HR is talking about how important inventory is and what a great job we do. Later that same day, I find out that our supervisors had mentioned that our department was feeling underappreciated. I guess that's their response. Yeah.
Well, hey, these guys are great. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Ask more money.
Yeah. It's not in our budget. We have to pay our CEO $2 million this year instead of 1.5. You know, it's like, give me a fucking break, man. What I don't like is the apologists for the corporations, right? They're like, well, these corporations are putting out these jobs for people. You know, it's like, yeah, that's true. Walmart is the biggest or second biggest employer in the United States. But when you're paying your employees less than what it takes, by the way, most of Walmart's workers have to go to government assistance like food stamps and other shit to survive. You think maybe if Walmart took their billions and billions and billions of dollars of profit, almost in the trillions, and maybe gave back a little more to the employees, that they would be less inclined to go suck on the tit of the government? My answer would be yes. Like, if their minimum wage was at least 15, if not like 20, 22 should be where it is, these people would be, well, you know, much better off. And you know,
well, let's talk about Walmart specifically, because I pulled up the numbers. Yeah. The average employee right now the CEO makes 400 times the average employee.
Yep.
The average employee salary at Walmart is $51,394.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna give us a source on that?
Business.org.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think that's fairly accurate too, from the numbers I've seen.
But I'm guessing like most of the store people aren't getting the $51,000. Like that's. No, probably...
I'm just mentioning it for clarity for people who.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. No, yeah. I get it. You weren't trying to question whether I was just making shit up.
I am. You're making shit up, Breakman.
But the CEO makes $21.45 million a year.
Yeah. And by the way, does that CEO do more than the average employee at his company does? My answer would be absolutely not.
Let's see here. Oh, CNBC.com says it would take the Walmart. Let me start over. The IPS found that Walmart has a CEO worker pay gap of 1,076 to 1, claiming that Walmart CEO blah blah. Yeah.
So the
store workers. That's where I was seeing that like the store workers are the ones that are really getting fucking hosed.
Yeah, and by the way, Walmart paid no taxes last year and the year before, and had record profits, by way of government subsidies. Amazon was another one that actually got a refund. So if that doesn't make you sick, I don't know what will. You know. So there you go.
Think about what happened during the pandemic. The government gave out billions and billions of dollars to, you know, offset the money that companies were going to lose for, mm-hmm. you know, shutting down. What did 90% of those companies do?
Buy back their stock?
Well, before that, when they were getting the loans and when the pandemic started, they fired people.
Yep. Fired a lot of people.
Fired a shit ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are completely expendable, and they have the money. The government compensated them enough money to keep staff.
Yeah, we've had gaming stories like that.
Money for themselves instead.
Yeah, wasn't there an EA story about how they laid off all these people, yet they had record profits? Why? Why did they lay them off? So they could make even more fucking money. Yep. It's like, Jesus Christ, does Kotek not have a fucking enough money? I mean, he's got to be close to a billionaire by now, if not...
A lot of these companies use the pandemic as an excuse to cut their costs, you know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
Like, to get rid of and they could just start over when the pandemic was over. If they needed more people, they'd hire them on at that point. But, yeah, they just...
Pretty disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we've got very little time to go through this, Eric, but let's do this Bayonetta 3 fiasco again. We talked a little bit about last week, but I'm sorry, Breakman. Was there anything else that you had?
No, I did. But I can't remember.
Okay, sorry. But we need to get through this Bayonetta 3 fiasco. It took a weird turn. You want to talk quickly about that, Eric?
Yeah, I've got a link to the article here, but I'll put it in the chat after I'm done clicking here.
I'll go ahead and do it. Here.
But no, I got it.
Right.
But basically, Helena Taylor, the voice actress for the original Bayonetta, put out a video saying why, like, she wasn't going to be doing her role in Bayonetta 3 instead of Jennifer Hale, who's now the voice of Bayonetta, is because when she went to talk about payments with Nintendo and Platinum, and maybe even Sega, were offering to pay her, this is what she claimed at the time, $4,000 for the whole thing, for all the sessions, when it was actually more to the tune of 15 to 20, depending on how many sessions they actually got to get all that done. But anyways, when she did these videos, she basically threw Jennifer Hale the bus, which was kind of wrong, but she also basically accused Hideki Kamiya, the director of Platinum, of lying, and the offer that he actually gave her, along with Nintendo and Sega. And it basically had a lot of people upset and getting and yelling at Kamiya, which they should, but not for this reason. The reason being that she was lying about the payment that she wanted and what they were offering. But,
why did she lie, you know?
I don't think she lied. I don't think she lied. There's conflicting reports. They're saying that they offered her like $4,000 for like a session, which was
per,
up to
per session for a number of about 4 to 5 sessions, which yeah. would equal about 15 to 20,000 K in total.
Yeah,
which is more than actually the standard rate, but it did trigger a wider discussion about how voice actors are significantly underpaid in the industry.
Yeah, I think 12,000 is still too low for a voice actor to add their talents to a game that's made, I mean, by all accounts, what, like $400 million?
The thing ended up being she wanted six figures.
Yeah, she wanted $100,000, which I don't think is. I mean, an actor.
I mean, a lot of people online kept saying that she was asking for too much for how little of a franchise this was compared to something like GTA 4, which the voice actor for Nico Bellic got for his role, and he did this without royalties.
Yeah, no,
and that's another issue that was brought up too, because a lot of these voice actors do these jobs, but they don't get royalties for them.
Right, and I think it should be, if you don't want to pay your actors, you know, $100,000 like she was requesting, which I don't think is too much. I
kind of disagree. I think like that's the wrong person that should be getting the most of the money. Like, the voice actors are probably the least important people in the game development process.
I totally disagree with you, Breakman. I think if
like,
you don't...
I think the developer, like the people who code all day should be getting the six.
Break.
I think you're wrong because I think they all should be getting paid.
I agree.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I agree with you in a certain... Okay. I don't think maybe $100,000 each coder. I mean, because I think that's a... Coding is tough. It's a tough job, but those people know what they're getting into. I think a fair, you know, above minimum wage for sure for them. Like, they shouldn't get paid.
And apparently Platinum's the one doing the payout. And Platinum
is kind of
hurting right now, but I don't think they're hurting so much they couldn't give a better offer.
No. Here's my take on it. Voice acting is probably the most underrated portion of the acting business. Without good voice acting,
I didn't say it wasn't. I said as far as the game itself. Like,
okay.
The gameplay is the most important part.
I agree, Breakman. But think about it. Can you imagine? Let me think of a good example. Metal Gear Solid, right? Troy Baker did that for years before Kiefer Sutherland took over for the last game, right? Can you imagine him not in that role? Just some actor off the street, you know, playing Snake?
I can imagine just reading text.
I would have compromised with Helena and at least offered $50,000 for the whole thing with royalties.
I would have done the same. I would have said, because I think, look,
think about how much voice acting she's doing in this specific game. The game's plot is about multiple Bayonets for different multiverses, all working together in various fashions.
By the way,
save the entire multiverse.
Yeah, Breakman is
from
banned.
A threat that has come about.
Breakman is exiled. He just gave me a picture of some pancakes
and
a T-bone steak.
Why am I exiled? That was Freak.
And she's
I mean, not Breakman. Freak.
She's basically responsible for about 40 minutes of dialogue, which is more than any Bayonet.
Sorry, Break. That was my bad.
Point. When you consider how many lines and how many versions of Banana she's playing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
there could have been a room for both her and Hale, because it would have been interesting to see different versions of Bayonetta, different voice actors.
No, I think if you're a main voice actor in a game, I think you should be compensated. I'm not saying you should be compensated like an actual actor, like doing live motion stuff, but I don't think $100,000 was unreasonable.
Yeah, because I think the mocap for Bayonetta is done by somebody else.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that as long as the coders and the people who are making the game play,
give them a significant bump.
The people that are getting paid the most money, like, I think they should be, because they're the ones who actually make the game.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, that, you know, there is a lot of importance there, but without good voice acting, I mean, your game loses a lot.
Games that are great with no voice acting.
Some. Breakman, but
no,
like,
come on, we didn't even really have voice acting until like the mid-90s.
And wasn't it dynamic when it happened? When you first started
Resident Evil, how bad the voice acting was.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think anything will be as bad as Valis 3, though.
Yeah,
Valis 3 is pretty awful.
There's so many bad examples of voice acting from like when it was early in the 90s, like the Resident Evils, the
yes, I get it.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night,
right?
You know,
right? No, now look, I think if you get a name actor, right, mm-hmm. like Kiefer Sutherland. You think they didn't pay Kiefer Sutherland at least $1 million to do Snake in fucking Metal Gear, whatever it was?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think Pac-Man, the original Pac-Man, would have been better voice acting?
No, that's not what I'm saying, Breakman. I'm saying
You're distracting from the argument.
Yeah, you're doing red herrings, dude. Look, what I'm saying, Breakman, is if you have a good voice actor or good voice actress, you better pay them good. Especially if it's a franchise. Like, if you got something, look, Helena Taylor was excellent as Bayonetta. I played both Bayonetta 1 and 2. And she deserved whatever she got. Like, she was good. Like, what would it be for them to give a good voice actor? Let's say they couldn't do $100,000 for budgetary reasons or whatever. But you don't think they could have come up with at least $50,000 for the sessions that she did, at least? Plus, maybe a 1% royalty check on the end, depending on how good. Like, they could have put markers in. If the game does this good, we'll give you a half a percentage or a percentage of the revenue. What is wrong with that? I don't understand. Like, you're doing them a service with no, it's not that I'm saying you said any of this, Breakman. I take exception to them just not paying people in general, and I'm with you. I think the coder should have got paid more or whatever, but I think voice acting is totally underrated, and I think it should be paid more. I think there should. I think the union.
Because this stems beyond just video games. There's also the anime industry as well.
Yeah,
you could talk about. Do you want to talk about how the voice actor for Mob and Mob Psycho 300 or 100
got paid like $100? Yeah,
and it was cut out of season 3.
Yeah,
Crunchyroll decided to go with someone else because they were doing a non-union work for this job, and he only does union work.
Yeah, I know. It's just it's pretty ridiculous.
And then there's the other conversation about how unions just don't stand up for their workers.
And by the way, voice acting isn't exactly the easiest thing in the world. Like without actual acting, like you're trying to portray things through your voice that not a lot of actors are really good at doing. I know Troy Baker. Can you imagine?
And then there's all the travel expenses you have to do because a lot of these stupid companies don't let you do work from home.
You have to
do conventions because you get famous, hey, and then you have to show places.
Eric, can you imagine, like for instance, the Joker not being voiced by Mark Hamill? I know it's been done before, but I mean, I think he's worth the money. You know what I'm saying? And that's what certain people, they're worth the money. Like, Troy Baker's worth the money.
He's doing an Arkham Asylum game. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
you just said that's not what. Oh, my God.
No. I'm saying, people are. Like, there are certain people that are worth the money, is what I'm saying, Break. And I agree the coder should get paid more. And I think the voice actor should get paid more, especially if they're, like, a known commodity. Right, like.
I mean, you could argue Helena Taylor is only known for her role as Bayonetta because she hasn't done much beyond that.
Yeah, and but I agree with you, Slagar. If you say you only do union work, then just do union work. You made the rule, not them. I agree with that, but you know, I think compensation should be fair, clear across the board. I've been on record as saying that. So whatever. I mean, it is.
The thing
what
is,
it is,
like, they could have negotiated, and they didn't want to. That was the problem.
Yeah. All right. Real quickly, my other stinko is YouTube ads, the political ones, because you can't skip them. So it's just a really quick aside. But we need to move on real quickly to Sweetos.
What does my tattoo say?
Sweet.
And if you haven't noticed, we're going to be going a little overtime today. But real quickly, my Sweeto, I'm writing a script for a movie, just to let you guys know. So it's basically a movie that's a piece of my life that I want to capture on film. I'll be writing the script, and I'll be probably starting production. When I say starting production, it depends on if I can find actors to work for free, which is a non-union job, and I won't be too demanding. I just want to get this thing done.
Plus, I never said that the actor for Mob wouldn't do non-union work, but he'd be willing to for the right price.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Fair compensation for what you do. And also, I got new rechargeable batteries for my Xbox controllers. Breakman, your Sweeto of the week.
It's nice weather out. That's
about it. Wow, what type of weather? Like 75 or
it's
what?
It's just nice.
All right.
Anymore, you guys are misrepresenting everything I said.
No, I'm not picking on you, Breakman, per se, at all, man. I think everybody should get paid. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Horn Dog, a movie by Frankie.
My argument was like that. Basically, of the people that make the games, I think the people who make the games should be the most well compensated because we don't actually need voice actors in video games.
I think voice acting in video games has proven to be a good commodity for video games.
It is. Don't get me wrong. Like I don't want to go back to reading text and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying you could still make a game and just have text.
Yeah. Well,
that's what a lot of indie developers do because they don't have the budget for that.
I understand your point, right. Break, but I think we can't go back to that point. You know what I'm saying? So. We need to change with the times.
I wasn't saying that we shouldn't compensate them at all. Like I want them to get paid too. If you get voice actors, then you need to pay them. That was my argument.
Freak Vibes.
What are you actually arguing for then?
Freak Vibes.
No, my argument was that we should. Never mind.
We should pay the coders more money. I agree with you.
Built to make the game that you're actually going to play.
Yeah.
It's the most important part of the game.
No, I agree, man, but I think there's way more...
That sounds like a reductivist gamer argument, though. That's all I'm saying.
No. He's got a good argument, but the problem is, Breakman...
I'm reductivist because I'm not saying...
Because there's lots of different things that go into game. There's lots of very different reasons people play video games. Right. No. So I don't think gameplay is the most important aspect.
No, I actually disagree with you.
I think it's Eric. One of the most important aspects.
I think it is the most important
aspect.
I think it is
the most important, too, yeah.
Because then we can get in conversation of, well, what equals gameplay?
No.
And a lot of people think visual novels aren't video games just because you're reading text.
No, that's untrue. But here's...
It is untrue.
Here's my thing, Breakman and Eric.
I think voice acting... lends itself to gameplay.
Yeah,
I think it's just as important.
Eric,
as
give me a second.
Encoding the game itself.
I would agree with that, Eric. But here's what I'm saying, and here's what I think Breakman is trying to convey: the people that create the game, that make the game work the way that it works, should get paid more. Am I wrong or right on that, Break?
All right. Right.
Okay.
I wasn't saying that voice actors shouldn't get paid.
I was just saying
that if there's a lot of money, like everybody should get paid. And I was just
yes. My point was that
we should worry about like why are we talking about the voice actors first when we should be talking about the developers?
Well, I agree.
My whole point was why are you taking that line when we obviously should be talking about all these things.
Okay, here. Let me end this, okay? We might have a discussion next week or not.
It just sounds like
Eric, please let me finish. Here's what I'm saying. I agree with everybody involved here, all right? Everybody should be paid more. This is a basic argument about...
So I wasn't disagreeing with you. So when you're saying, like, I'm making, like, a whataboutism, I'm not whataboutism.
No, I agree.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't pay the voice actors.
Here's my argument, all right? What I'm saying is that the reason that we can't pay, let you know, it's ridiculous to think that we could pay every coder on a game $100,000 extra, right? Voice actors, there's very few of them involved with the game, and that's for good reason, because not everybody can do what they do. I'm not saying coders are less important than voice actors or vice versa, but there's way more coders than there are voice actors, right? So the compensation has to kind of even out a little bit. Do I think they should be paid more? Absolutely. Do I think voice actors should be paid more? Absolutely. I don't know what the truth is with Carrie Taylor. Whether she
Helena Taylor.
Helena, I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. I was thinking of Kelly Taylor, the actual actress. But but 4,000 seemed too low. Even 12,000 seems too low to me. So
15,000 to 20,000, by the way.
Well, the numbers I saw vary, Eric, so it depends on what.
It was 15,000 to 20,000 for the whole thing.
Okay.
But she was making a claim that it was 4,000 for the whole thing.
What would be the problem with offering an actor who's been with your franchise at least two games, like 1% of the profit? Like, no problem. I mean, that game would have done just as well. There would have been no issues. The people would have made a shit ton of money. The coders should have been paid more.
The funny thing about this game and the whole fiasco surrounding it is that pre-orders actually increased.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. The pub that they got. It looks like we're disconnected. Does somebody type in chat that we'll be back in just a second, but we'll continue
part
on here.
Part of me, the cynic in me almost thinks the entire thing might have actually been staged in order to drum up publicity.
That's a possibility, too. I mean, I wouldn't put it past everybody involved. All right, Eric, we got to get to your Sweeto so we can get to our scariest game of all time.
What's
those are old, I think, Eric. So I don't think you got one this week, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go through. We're in round four of the scariest game of all time. I think we've got some great matchups this week, Breakman. Take us away.
Okay, let's go ahead and just go right into this. Clock Tower versus Eternal Darkness. We all know what you're going to say, Frank, so you can go ahead and start.
All right, I'm going to start this one. It's a close match. It's closer than what you guys think, because I think Clock Tower is an all-time scary great game based on the Scissor Man and him, you know, not being able to do any combat. But Eternal Darkness, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, is one of my favorite games of all time. It's in the top five of my favorite games of all time, and it's definitely a super scary game. I'm going with Eternal Darkness.
Eric?
I'm going with Eternal Darkness as well.
Oh,
man, that's a clean sweep. I'm going to go ahead and go.
Oh, you went with Eternal Darkness too, Break?
Okay. Next, we have the remake of Resident Evil 2 versus Dead Space 2. And Eric, you can go ahead and start this one.
Golden with Resident Evil 2 remake.
Frank?
I'm going with Dead Space 2. I think Dead Space 2 is super scary. It did ratchet up a little bit from the first game, so that means you're the tiebreaker, Break.
Yeah, I actually agree with you, Frank. I think the second game was scarier than the first one because of they realized the horrors of the first game, and they tried to do some unique things to them, like make the boss creatures more unique, for instance.
Yeah,
And of course those fucking baby heads.
Oh God, those are awful. And then wasn't that this the one where like you had to go like out on the ship space and like you couldn't hear anything and like oh God, just scary as fuck, man.
I think that's what made it scarier was the out in space elements to it. Yeah,
yeah.
I agree. So I say Dead Space 2. Dead Space 2 moves on.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm typing badly. I'm just typing here. Dead Space 2. Next we have Alien Isolation versus the original Dead Space. I'm going to go ahead and start this one since I've said many times the original Dead Space is, I think, the scariest game I've ever played. I am not very far in Alien Isolation, but the game is fucking scary. But we can talk about the alien. There's it's a bitch trying to get away from or trying to get it, you gotta evade it. Can't really fight it.
No.
But Dead Space, like, I've talked so many times about, like, the cool things about Dead Space. Like, one of the things you noticed immediately fighting a monster. So you shoot in the head, and that does fucking nothing to it. And you, like, aim for the limbs and stuff like that. So you get the idea right away that the developers were thinking outside of the box,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you can see, like, as you play through it, some of the elements meant to scare you. Like, suddenly a monster dropping out from the rafters behind you at certain points and stuff. Yeah,
the sound design is excellent in that game, too. I'm really looking forward to the remake.
Yeah. So, as of right now, it's still hard because Alien Isolation, like, when anything's hunting you and you're just hiding in a locker and all you can do is just sit there and hide.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, and you don't know when you can get out. You're just trying to listen and see if you can hear somebody talking or hear the alien hiss or something like that. And then they walk past you and you hope they don't notice you in there. You kind of lean or be quiet. This is a really tough one, actually. I shouldn't have gone first. This is really tough. I'm going to go with Dead Space just because I finished it all the way through. Yeah. And there were so many great horror elements in it. And I talked many times about, like, that safe space that they give you the safe space and then take it away from you later in the game. And that's just one of the scariest moments in any video game, I think.
Yeah,
it's Dead Space. So, you, Frank?
All right, I'm going with Alien Isolation, and I'll tell you why, man. Like, you mentioned something like innovation. There's an innovative AI take on Alien Isolation that I don't think many games are taking advantage of. Like I mentioned it before, like, one of the aliens, there's two aliens at all times, two xenomorphs that are, you know, one knows exactly where you are all the time, but it has to rely on information from the other alien. And that's why it's so difficult, like... But it's fair, right? Like, because the other alien kind of doesn't know where you are. They generally know sort of the area, so that's why you'll see the alien more times than not. But it doesn't exactly know where you are. So it the other alien is kind of it knows where you are, but it has to rely on the other alien. The way that it works is fascinating. I saw a video on it, but I think that's kind of an innovative thing and good for, like, future gaming stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like Dead Space. Like, Dead Space did, like, the limb thing, and they were thinking outside the box. But Alien Isolation, for me, like, not only did you have to at first deal with the humans involved in that game, which is kind of scary because they're enemies, right? And then you have to deal...
They basically treat you like... I think every human I've encountered wants to kill me.
Yeah. So you have to deal with the humans at first, and then you get involved with the alien, and that's shocking and hard to deal with. And then after that, you have to, on top of that, you got to deal with the fucking robots.
So goddamn much.
Yeah.
They suck. Yeah, Never trust an android.
They fucking suck. They're shitty, you know? It's like... So it, and plus
you, you're acting hysterical. I'm trying to help you as they're killing you. Like, yeah, I'm helping. I know. Like, fuck, I know. Goddamn,
they're scary in their own right, man. Plus your isolation. I mean, isolation is a perfect annotation to this game because you're isolated. You're the only one, you know, of your, you know, the good guys, you know, and you're having to stave off, like, or run from, or I mean, it's just horrifying. It's a horrifying game. So I'm going with Alien. Isolation.
I really feel like there's more isolation in Dead Space.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're alone in Dead Space.
Yeah, I think you're right, but I just...
Alone in Alien Isolation, you just don't feel safe.
Yeah, there's no salvation for you in Alien, it seems like. So, you know, to me, it's just... I don't know. It's just, to me, it's an open.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. There's no like, safety in Alien, but there are safe spots in Dead Space.
Yeah. So, for me, it's Alien Isolation by a slim margin, but enough to move on.
You're the tiebreaker.
Yep. Eric?
And choose wisely.
Yeah. I'm going for Isolation as well.
I said choose wisely, not choose Alien Isolation. God!
I don't think Dead Space has the level of scare factor that Aliens does.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's close to me. Like, I mean,
you're empowered in Dead Space because you've got a high-powered weaponry.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. That's another good point. You do have, so far, I only have a revolver.
And
Isolation.
And that's not going to do shit to the aliens. Yeah, it's not. not doing anything.
That's going to tickle the alien. Yeah. He might laugh at me before he kills me.
Yeah. All right. Continue on. Break.
That leaves last category. We've gone through this quick, which is good because we are way over.
Yeah.
Little Nightmares versus Evil Within, and I've never played even one of these goddamn games, so I am going to be a tiebreaker if you guys want that. But first, Frank, what do you want?
Okay, this is tough for me because Little Nightmares is pretty scary.
Little Michael Myers?
Yeah, Little Michael Myers. But I'm going to go with Evil Within. I talked to Eric before we got on the air about Evil Within a little bit. I think it's highly underrated. It's from the same people that did the original Resident Evil. And it's fucking scary, man. Like, the first scenario, you're hung upside down. You have no idea what the hell's going on. But you're hung upside down like you're a piece of meat among other meat. And you have to get out of that scenario. And then there's this crazy guy that reminds you kind of like Leatherface chasing after you. And you can't really fight him at that point. So it's hide. So already it puts you in a high state of tension. I'm going with Evil Within. But Little Nightmares got this far for a reason. So Evil Within for me.
Eric?
I'm gonna go for Evil Within.
All right. So no need to tiebreak, Breakman.
Fine, I'm still voting for Little Nightmares just because.
I like it. Maybe you should have voted first, and then Eric or I could have been the tiebreaker. But
I like how I can provide an explanation about something, and it's just automatically wrong.
No, not always. Just most of the time, Eric.
No, I'm talking to a specific individual in chat.
Oh, Slagar? Yeah, no, he said.
I think it's just a difference in our brains. It doesn't mean I'm wrong. It just means I think differently.
Yeah. Well, we all think differently.
You're wrong, man, when I say you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We can all agree that you're wrong about 75% of the time.
I just don't feel as scared playing a game when you can kill your enemies. That's all there is to it.
Well, that's true.
That's a fair argument. That's fair.
It's fair. All right, so Evil Within. So we got Evil Within versus Alien Isolation as one of the matchups, and Dead Space 2 and Eternal Darkness as the other matchup. Golly, man. We can't go wrong with any of them. It's going to be... next week we'll determine the scariest game of all time, for sure. So, all right, you know what? We got quick time for plugs. So, break, plug away, please.
You can follow me at RP Grinders on Twitter, and that's it.
All right,
until
Eric?
Elon Musk buys it, and then I can get my old account back.
I know, Eric. Your plugs, please.
You can find my reviews on BostonPatchBrigade.com, or you can go to the audio feed. Nothing this week, but hopefully next week I'll have something.
All right.
But if you like the audio reviews, which are on the feed, or the written reviews, and you want to support me, there's a link to my Patreon, which is in my Twitter profile, which is at EricRPG. You can go there and give me as little as a dollar, a one-time donation even. That will help out. Or you can tell someone else who might be interested and is able to.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Eric?
Stay safe.
Yeah.
Dress appropriately. It's getting colder finally.
Yeah. All right, Freak 5, I want to thank you for being in there. Slagar, thanks for being in the chat. OAX2, Alicidra, All Roads Lead to the Farm was in there. Another TV viewer, A10, was in there. Hopefully Bo Derek was there. That would be cool. Commander Root, Lizzie Beth, and Lara Craft was in there. So thank you so much. You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches, all the systems, RP Grinders. Watch Incantation. It's a pretty good scary movie. If you're looking for something different for the Halloween season, next week we'll be doing the scariest game of all time. I think that's, what is that considered? The semifinal and final round next week. So that's about it. Anything else, gentlemen? Food
questions.
Oh, there we go. All right. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody. Special guest, Mrs. Breakman, this week on OnlyFans.